WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Victoria Kumach has waited nearly 34 years for this.
The time for justice is now.
Her husband was one of the 270 people killed in the Pan Am Flight 103 bombing in 1988. The accused bomb maker has had his first appearance in a U.S. courtroom. No plea, just a request for a week to find a lawyer. Correspondent Catherine Herridge.
Abu Ghila Mohammed Massoud was part of Libyan intelligence. He was captured about a decade ago, and there were a series of interrogations. And what was contained in the criminal complaint is that he allegedly confessed to making this device and doing so at the direction of the late Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi.
Prosecutors say they won't ask for the death penalty, which was not legal in 1988. The FBI says it received reports of more than 7,000 hate crimes last year, about two-thirds based on race or ethnicity. Deputy Director Brian Griffith.
The largest group bias group is the anti-Jewish bias, which is about 32% of all religious hate crimes.
The Southern Poverty Law Center says the real numbers are probably higher because many agencies didn't report their stats. That severe Sierra Nevada storm is steaming east, and winter storm warnings are up for much of the northern plains for tonight and tomorrow. National Weather Service meteorologist David Roth.
Some places have ice storm warnings for areas near southwest Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. And looks like advisories go as far east as Wisconsin.
Special Counsel Jack Smith has subpoenaed Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger as part of the investigation into then-President Trump's attempts to overturn the 2020 election. Trump is heard on tape telling Raffensperger to find the vote so he could win Georgia. CBS News legal analyst Lori Levinson.
He is going to be the center of any ongoing investigations regarding Trump, people near him, Giuliani, and others, and whether they crossed that legal line in what they did.
Raffensperger is heard refusing the request. A huge settlement means help with the opioid crisis for hundreds of communities.
The deals with CVS Health and Walgreens paying local governments are among the largest in a wave of proposed and finalized settlements over opioids in recent years, totaling more than $50 billion.
What does it depend on? It depends on its local governmental use.
Marvin Ventrell is CEO of the National Association of Addiction Treatment Providers.
You've got to get people access to treatment. People do not have access to treatment in this country, especially disadvantaged populations, especially people of color.
States have until the end of the year to accept the deals. Matt Piper, CBS News.
This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Paid for by government.com.
Did you hear? A recent stash of $10 gold Liberty coins from the 1800s has been found. These gorgeous gold coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck in the late 1800s, and less than 50 of these gold coins are available. Coin experts are calling this gold find an incredible opportunity.
Call 1-800-935-7267
and you are guaranteed a $10 gold Liberty coin minted by the U.S. Mint in the 1800s. But with extremely limited availability, you must call now. Now, these gold Liberty coins from the 1800s are still in uncirculated condition. That is history you can hold in your hand.
To learn more, call 1-800-935-7267.
Call now and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $40 value, free with every order.
Call 1-800-935-7267 now
to secure your $10 gold Liberty coins dated from the 1800s before they sell out.
That's 1-800-935-7267.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. 20 communities across Wisconsin voted to approve referendums to pay for public safety during midterm elections. Governor Evers has pushed for increasing state shared revenue to local governments to help pay for police, but these initiatives have not passed the GOP-led legislature. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he thinks referendums are a good thing because it opens up the discussion beyond a basic level, but admitted that inflation is making it harder for local governments to pay public employees. Some local governments feel that the need to go to referendum to pay for public safety services is a sign that the state has underfunded its share of paying for these services. Voss said he is open to the idea of updating the shared revenue formula, doing something different. According to WPR, Governor Evers proposed increasing state shared revenue for local governments by $91 million to pay for public safety. In volleyball, San Diego will take on Texas, and Pittsburgh versus Louisville. NCAA semifinals will begin on December 15th. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until 9 a.m. Thursday. Overcast tonight with a low of 29. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow, highs around 36. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow night, 32. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Courtney Cup, Henry Cup,
because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Bonjour relatives. This is Ogamaganuakwe, and I am co-hosting, or assistant hosting, I should say, with Dr. Anthony Stately of the Native American Community Clinic today on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're live on the Civic Media Network in Minnesota and Wisconsin, and we are happy to have Dr. Stately here. For our listeners over in Wisconsin who might not be familiar with you or your work, Dr. Stately, why don't you go ahead and give a quick introduction?
Sure. Thanks so much, Ogama. Good evening to our listeners near and far. I'm Anthony Stately. I am a descendant of the Great Red Lake and White Earth Nations of Minnesota, and I'm an enrolled citizen of the Oneida Nation of Wisconsin. I serve the Native American community of the Greater Twin Cities as the executive officer and president of the Native American Community Clinic. We're a federally qualified healthcare center and community health center that serves the Twin Cities Native community. And we'll be celebrating our 20th birthday here in about 2 months in February, which is super exciting.
Wow, February that is really 15th. Exciting.
Yeah, it is really very exciting. We've been quite around for quite a while, which is good. We're almost legal. almost legal and almost ready to drive without a provisional license. So
that's awesome. And then you guys, Native American Community Clinic's been located down on the Franklin Avenue in the Indian Court of Minneapolis for 20 years too, right?
Yes. So we've been on the American Indian Cultural Corridor, right on Franklin Avenue in the heart of the Native community in Minneapolis for our entire duration. So pretty proud of that. We have a fairly robust operation. We have about 105 employees. We have a fully integrated primary care clinic that provides all kinds of medical services to the Native people living in the community, quite a number of non-Native people as well, although our primary sort of focus is Native people and Native health. About 75% to 80% of our patient population is the Native community in South Minneapolis, and then we have a few other people that we serve. We also have a outpatient treatment program and Suboxone administration program that we operate in partnership with the Red Lake Nation and behavioral health program that provides outpatient mental health services, counseling, individual counseling, couples counseling, family support, those kinds of things. And then also a fully operational dental clinic.
I was just going to mention the dental clinic because that's something I might have to come down and see you for. Yeah. There's a chip in my tooth that happened during my pregnancy with my youngest, and I could definitely use some help to get that fixed. As you know, it's not making it easy in the wintertime. Every time you go out in the wind, that chipped tooth really stings.
The change in the weather and the colder, and if you eat something cold, you want to take care of that sooner rather than later, too. Exactly. I had a chip in my tooth up until recently, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel less like a rock star. I had it fixed about a month ago. So it's like...
Well, Dr. Stately, if you don't mind, I have just a little bit of news I wanted to touch base on today. Absolutely. And then we can come loop back around to NAC and talk about the sickness season as we come into winter. So the first thing that I wanted to mention actually has to do with us Red Lake members and Red Lake descendants. The Red Lake Nation put out a press release earlier this month indicating that they're working with the Wilder Foundation, which is a research group, and they did a projection on enrollment based on the current enrollment criteria, and Red Lake Nation really expects a rapid decline in tribal membership over the next several years based on their current enrollment criteria. Red Lake Nation currently has a tribal membership enrollment criteria of 1/4 Red Lake Nation blood quantum, and all tribal membership enrollment criteria scenarios using the 1/4 blood quantum will result in that population decline, and even lowering it down to 1/8 blood quantum estimates a slight initial increase in population size, and then it projects that the population size will start to decline after about 100 years. So they're hosting listening sessions. The tribe is hosting listening sessions for members to come talk about, hear what else this study was able to determine, and to get questions answered about this. The first listening session was this Sunday, December 11th at Panema in the Boys and Girls Club, and they also had a virtual online session. But there is a session today actually happening currently, 5:30 to 7:30 at the new Red Lake Center. But Thursday, December 15th in Minneapolis for our Red Lake Nation relatives in Minneapolis, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Red Lake Nation Embassy in the community room, you can attend the listening sessions on blood quantum and enrollment criteria. If you have any other questions, you can go to redlakenation.org, or you can contact Sarah White at swhite@redlakenation.org if you have any other questions. Wilder Research is a really renowned and respected independent research group, and I'm really glad to hear that my tribe, I'm a citizen of Red Lake Nation, has partnered with them to start talking about what we need to do as a nation, because if you don't know, everybody, blood quantum is genocide, because we keep having to look at our enrollment criteria to ensure that our blood quantum will continue, but only dogs and horses are the only other creatures on the planet who are subjected to this. And eventually blood quantum, unless you start inbreeding, eventually blood quantum does taper off, which was the whole point of the blood quantum system when it began. So mm-hmm. we do have to decide what is going to be the plan for our nation. And I know that a lot of other tribes in Minnesota and elsewhere are looking into this. Some tribes have even voted to go to a descendancy model, meaning if one of your parents was enrolled, that means that their descendants are automatically enrolled, and so on and so forth for time immemorial, which is the same amount of time that our Native people have been here on Turtle Island. So I'm interested to see what's happening, and I unfortunately won't be able to make it to the listening session. So if any of my Red Lake Nichis happen to tune in and can give me an update, I'd appreciate that very greatly. Another thing that happened here in Minnesota, and it's it's deeply sad, but I wanted to talk about it because it involves our animal relatives. Three bald eagles, three Magizis have died, and 10 others have been sickened after eating the carcass of euthanized animals at a Minnesota landfill. AP News reports that veterinarians suspect that the eagles had died from eating part of a carcass of an animal that had been euthanized using pentobarbital. And those animals had been improperly disposed of in the Invergrove Heights area in Minnesota. The other 10 of the 13 birds are currently in intensive care at the University of Minnesota Raptor Center. And thankfully, the center's director says that she's optimistic the other 10 will recover. But all when the eagles were found, some of them were lying motionless, face down in the snow, and the raptor workers were not sure if they were still alive. They've confirmed, investigators have confirmed that euthanized animals have been brought to the landfill on December 2nd. Animals that have been chemically euthanized are supposed to be disposed of in such a manner that other animals cannot scavenge them. So if you have to go through the hurt of putting down an animal, make sure that you dispose of them properly and don't sicken any other animals with their carrion. So. Breaks my heart that we lost some McGeezy, but
yeah,
Dr. Stately, we're just wrapping up to go to commercial here. When we come back, I know we have a lot to talk about with cold and flu season, and COVID is still around. That is still a thing, everybody. So we can touch base on all of that when we come back from this message. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Ogumaganua Kwe, co-hosting with Dr. Stately. We will be right back.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, Buju relatives. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This is Ogumaganua Kwe, who is happy to stand in and help Dr. Anthony Stately host for Robert Pilot tonight. He has some official Ho-Chunk business he's working on this evening. And I just want to let everybody know that this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And this portion of the show is also brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute, which is currently funding the All My Relations Arts Gallery. And Rosie Seema's dance is performing Rosie Seema's dance's performance. The last day is Thursday to see She Who Lives on the Road to War. Make sure you go over to allmyrelationsarts.com if you want to see this beautiful and powerful dance performance. I know Robert Pilot had taken the time to see it and said it was great. But today we have Dr. Stately, and we're also welcomed by Angelica Allery, who's joining us on Native Roots Radio as a new kind of helper. So I don't know, Angelica, before we get started, if you want to take a moment and introduce yourself to everybody again. I know you've been on the show, but not for a while.
Yeah, thank you, Oguma. My name is Angelica Allery. I am an enrolled member of the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate. I'm also Latina from Michoacan, Mexico. And I am here to you live, I guess, I live in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I've grown up here all my life. And I'm looking forward to helping support and kind of train in what it means to work on an awesome, amazing radio station like this one. So it'll be really cool, and I'm excited to work with you all. Thank you.
We're really excited to have you too. And Dr. Stately, I know you really wanted to touch about the sicknesses that happen with our relatives this time of year, with COVID, with RSV, with influenza. And we mean influenza, not the stomach flu, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the stomach flu is a form of flu. It's caused by a different viral infection, not necessarily the same flu as a respiratory flu. But the bugs going around now that are really tearing up, ripping through not just Indian country but across the nation is RSV, which is a respiratory virus. Respiratory syncytial virus. It's a fairly common virus that has been around for quite a while. There is actually no vaccine currently right now that you can take for RSV. It mostly has the most, I think, strongest impacts, particularly among very young children, like the ages of like 2 or 1 or younger than that, mostly because of the size of their airways and such. It causes inflammation in the bronchial tubes and a few other things, so it creates all kinds of challenges for them to be able to breathe, and they have little tiny lungs, and so that becomes a real big challenge. I know that early in the fall, as school started and we started kind of going back to, these large events that kids kind of attend that are related to school, like sports activities and school dances and, outings and field trips and all those kinds of things. And then, of course, going back and forth to school on the bus. And some people have to go for long distances on the bus. Sometimes you're in a very small enclosed space on the bus, in the school, in the classroom, with lots of kids and lots of other people coughing and hacking and those kinds of things. It's really important to just kind of pay attention to your children's symptoms. RSV is highly contagious, as is the Omicron variant of COVID. And then we don't have a high number of children and or even just adults even that are vaccinated for the flu. And so the flu this season has made a serious, comeback. And, it's kind of like a sleeping giant has awoken. The worst situation we're in is that these three respiratory illnesses have kind of, converged to create all kinds of challenges for, families who need more support, and sometimes, I've been tracking the children's hospital beds, emergency beds, and those kinds of things in Minnesota, which is where I live and work. And the state of Minnesota only had less than 5% of their hospital beds available last week to treat children with respiratory illnesses.
Yeah.
And actually, across the nation, there's a serious shortage of children's hospital beds to treat respiratory illnesses. So doing everything we can to sort of make sure that we're trying hard not to spread it in and among our families and in among our social networks and school and play and those kinds of things are really important.
Yeah, speaking of social networks, I know on social media, I've seen a lot of friends as families, you know, with small children, generally under the age of 5, you know, they're in the hospital, they've got oxygen, they came down with RSV, or they came down with COVID. And I know my daughter, I have two daughters, I have a 9-year-old and I have a 9-month-old. And we've been very blessed, you know, knock on wood, that we haven't been very ill this winter. But my 9-year-old has some friends at school whose twin baby siblings came down with RSV and almost had to be hospitalized. They were right on the edge of needing to be hospitalized and their whole family had to come to a halt. Nobody could go anywhere. It was almost as bad as COVID. It's that contagious. The family wasn't able to go to work or go to school or kind of leave their house while the infants were recovering. And we may have lost Dr. Stately. Dr. Stately, are you still with us? Dr. Stately has been having a little bit of intermittent internet problems since we started the show, but hopefully when he comes back, you know, as a mother of a school-age child and also an infant, I'm wondering if there's any, like, foolproof ways that we could tell COVID from RSV, from influenza A or influenza B. And Helica, how have you and your networks been faring this year with illness?
Well, it's interesting that I'm, you know, on this or helping with this piece. I actually have COVID right now. And so it's been interesting. It's actually my first time that I've tested positive. And my whole family has kind of caught it. So we're just kind of staying isolated the best we can. And, I know that we did have like some sort of like flu-like symptoms like 2 weeks ago, a little after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I know my mom kind of got the worst of it. She developed like a pneumonia from it and it wasn't, so she's recovering, but she's doing a lot better. But it's really scary out there. And I know that during the holiday season, you know, we want to get together with family, but if we can do our best to isolate when we're feeling sick, it's the best idea just to protect our little ones too, because we don't know if we're carrying the RSV virus as well. And we have a lot of, you know, in our families, we have lots of babies and young children who could be susceptible. So my advice is just drink a lot of water. I always say drink a lot of water and smudge and just send good energy out.
You know, our family's been doing a lot of simmer pots where we simmer a little bit of cedar, sage, or citrus in some warm water on the stove. And I know that some viruses have a hard time surviving in slightly higher levels of humidity, or at least that's something that I've heard and that I take it that I know. Dr. Stately, can you corroborate those facts for me?
Well, I mean, I think generally speaking, a lot of the symptoms that you see with COVID, also with the flu, and then with RSV, there's generally some similarities there. So it's hard to know. The only way to really know is actually to get tested, right? So you can actually go see your provider, and you can get tested for influenza. I think one of the most serious influenza strains right now that's going around is influenza A. It's pretty fairly virulent, the different flu strains kind of attack different systems of your body. Like the one will attack more like your respiratory functions and your sort of like your typical cough, your sinuses, your nasally stuff. And then the other one will attack more your gastrointestinal and generally cause malaise. But a real one.
Quality Foods makes Christmas meal planning easy. Get your Christmas dinner from Quality Foods on Baker and West Grand. Complete heat and serve prime rib or ham dinners with all the fixins, even dessert. While supplies last, call ahead by December 23rd. Quality Foods puts the customer first. No self-checkouts here. Getting you the groceries you want, checking you out, bagging, and loading them into your car is the quality personal service from real people you can continue to expect. Christmas dinners and the fixins from Quality Foods Baker and West Grand of Wisconsin Rapids. Get the details at qualityfoodswisrapids.com.
Farmers and ranchers have a lot of choices to make. When it comes to your crop insurance needs, the team at Ag Country Farm Credit Services can simplify it all for you. Ag Country's Optimum tool will compare thousands of options based on information from your farm, which will then be used to find the right policy for your operation. Ask about the Optimum tool by contacting your local Ag Country office. Ag Country, focused on ag, focused on you.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to FarmSafe811.org.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Let it slip, it covered, check. Talk to doctor now and share.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Gardner Trucking in Pittsville suffered a fire over the weekend. It was reported about 6 p.m. on Saturday that the building was on fire. No one was inside at the time of the blaze, but that added to the delay in reporting, and about 75% of the building and contents were involved in the fire. It was made worse by the many flammable items located in the truck repair shop, and several explosions went off because of contents, such as oil, fluids, and compressed gas cylinders. Fire crews fought the flames for about 6 hours before the fire was extinguished. They were able to save 3 bays of the building, about 25% of the structure. The cause of the fire is not known at this time. Employees of Sunoco in Wisconsin Rapids are expressing shock and confusion over the closing of the plant and 70 layoffs expected in March of 2023. It comes as a surprise, as some have just recently agreed to new terms of employment. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until 9 a.m. Thursday. Overcast tonight with a low of 29. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow, highs around 36. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow night, 32. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
And the shooting deaths of 2 breeding-age female elk near Black River Falls during the 9-day gun deer season. The Department of Natural Resources is trying to grow the elk herd in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Health Services Secretary Karen Timberlake says she'll resign on January 2nd. Timberlake led Wisconsin through crises like the COVID-19 pandemic and a statewide hospital worker shortage. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Highway 65 in Fridley, croonersmn.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, relatives, this is Ogama Ganua Kwei from Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm happy to be standing in for Robert Pilot tonight with Dr. Anthony Stately, CEO of the Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're also joined by Angelica Allery, who I did not know this until the show started, and she started talking about it, but currently has COVID, which is a fitting thing because we're talking about the effects of COVID-19, influenza, and RSV. On our communities and relatives this evening. Dr. Stately, I know we just talked a little bit about how we can kind of tell the difference between COVID-19, influenza, and RSV. And you said RSV, there's really deep wheezing. You hear that kind of labored breathing deep down in the lungs for RSV. And then for COVID and influenza, you can have a test done. But when should people look into getting tested for COVID and influenza?
I think that you should. So the other thing that is different about flu from the other flu and COVID from RSV, flu has kind of a more rapid sort of onset. Like I haven't had flu in a couple of years, but I have this vivid memory of I was at MIWRC. I was at a baby shower for my niece who was having her baby, impending birth. And like right in the middle of the baby shower, all of a sudden I started feeling like really weak. And I had like just like incredible aching pain in my legs that like emanated my hips and went all the way down to my body. Like all of a sudden I felt like the way I felt internally was like I ran into a brick wall. Like I had like no energy. I like completely felt like I had like hit a brick wall and fell down. And I was like, I looked at my niece and I was like, I'm so sorry. I think I'm having the flu. Like, and I shouldn't even be around you. You're pregnant. I gotta leave. And, ironically, it was like November and it was in the middle of a snowstorm today. I drove all the way from South Minneapolis to Shakopee in a snowstorm with like, the onset of flu. And I was just like, I felt unwell really rapidly, right? Mm-hmm. That's one way that you can tell that something might be more like a flu than it is like these other respiratory things because of the onset and how quick it is. COVID kind of happens more slowly, as does RSV. They sort of kind of grow and take this long incubation period before it sort of like slams you. Whereas flu is pretty instantaneous. That's one way of figuring those out. One of the things I think is just really important is like if you are having some, like we live in a time right now where, we have these, COVID is a worldwide pandemic that is impacting communities all over the place. Look what's happening in China right now, right? China, who had, the policy of zero COVID, they locked down their entire country for, the better part of like a year, worked really, really hard to sort of, control that and annihilate it. And here it is ripping through the country at this moment. We all have had really good examples fairly recently of what COVID has done in our communities and in our tribal communities and here in the country as well. The United States leads the world in terms of the number of COVID related deaths around the globe. So we have a really good hopefully that memory of what that experience was like is really close at hand. That's why it's really important to do everything we can to sort of like try to prevent the spread of it. We also happen, many tribal communities happen to have this sort of like this population where it's kind of like this bimodal distribution. A lot of their members are older, like very, very old, and a lot of their members are young. So those, and these respiratory illnesses are most dangerous for elders and for young people who cannot sort of like, combat them as easily as, mm-hmm. As people in their, as adults in their middle ages. So it's really important to do things like, all the things that we did during COVID when COVID first hit are really helpful, both with RSV and also with flu. Washing our hands, covering our cough, staying home when we're not feeling well, minimizing our interactions with other people, wearing a mask, God forbid, it's like, that's the modern day, a form of swearing now is like asking people to wear their mask. It's like calling them a name and swearing at them. That's the way people treat it. But mm-hmm. It really is a very good way of managing the spread of these viruses. A lot of the viruses actually spread through droplets that like you spray when you cough or you sneeze. But also like if you cover your cough, right? And the droplets are in your hand and you fail to wash them, you touch the doorknob, you touch the toilet seat mm-hmm. or to flush the toilet, you touch your computer, you're touching the phone, all these other things, opening doors to clinics and stores and all those other things, you're leaving those droplets on, the carts, when you go to Aldi, get the little thing and wipe that cart down really well.
Right? Yeah. Having an infant in this day and age, I've never been like a really big neat freak, but I'm wiping down carts. I'm like washing my hands. I'm like, wash the baby's hands, go wash your hands with her. Our house, we've managed to stay pretty healthy here at my house, but we have a rule when you come in from anywhere, when you come in, even from the garage or just going to your car, wash your hands when you come inside is the first rule. Your shoes come off at the door and your hands get washed because we have a crawling infant. So we don't want to wear shoes from the store around the house. And that has worked fairly well, I think, to keep a lot of us healthy. But I know that, no matter how careful you are, you're still at risk of contracting COVID or RSV or something of that nature. And I'm curious, Dr. Stately, if you happen to know or if you can point our relatives who might be listening on good places where they can go to check what the rates are of those illnesses, if there's an outbreak in their area or if they should take additional precautions. Is the CDC still the best place to go for that information?
Yeah, the CDC has really good dashboards nationally and then have ways of like drilling down and getting information for your local area, like your state or your county. Minnesota Department of Health has a really good website that tracks a lot of these health concerns in the community, and anybody can use it. You just kind of like Google Minnesota Department of Health and respiratory illnesses and click on that link and it'll take you to their dashboard, and you can kind of go through like the COVID dashboard and the influenza dashboard and look at like hospitalization rates and a few other things. I'm pretty sure that the Wisconsin Health Department probably has a really similar dashboard. One of the things I just kind of want to like when you were talking about your baby is like, I remember when my twins, who are not 15, like when they were 6 months old, we had come back from Seattle to visit some family because their mother had died at 6 months old. And we were back for her funeral and my babies got flu when they were 6 months old, and then, they're born, they're like just these little chubby blobs of like, just chubby, like really chubby faces and little chubby, like, little sausage arms and legs, which I love when I was, fascinating. And they got the flu and within like a week they lost like, 10% of their body weight. In a week, which as for a baby is a tremendous amount of weight. It was like I was so frightened. It was just like, it scared me so much because they were premature too. So they were vulnerable. Yeah. They were born with RSV and problem challenges with their lungs. So, just know that those are really serious conditions for our little wee ones. And we want to do everything we can to kind of protect them and keep them safe. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I hate to say it, but I think there's we have a relative. I refer to him as a grandfather, but technically speaking, he's not my grandfather. But you know how that goes when you're a native person. You know, he's my grandfather for all intents and purposes. And honestly, this winter, I've been staying away from him. He lives in elder care, and it's more or less just assisted living. He still gets around and, you know, does all of those things. But I've honestly been afraid to take my infant and my school age child in there to visit him, or even to take myself, because they need me so much, because I know that I could unknowingly carry that into a situation that could be really bad for those elders in that care center. And I've been trying to reach out to him, you know, more with the phone and keeping in touch via social media. And I'm really hoping when this kind of tapers down in the spring and summer, as it usually does, we'll get to see him a little bit more, you know, when we can visit with him outside. But the care center that he was in had a pretty bad outbreak of COVID each year. In 2020 they had one, in 2021 they had one, and then so far this year, you know, by creator's will, they have not had a bad COVID outbreak. I think they had one, maybe two residents, but not, you know, half of the floor like they've had in years prior, which I'm grateful for. But it's still really early in the season. You know, can we talk about that? Like, how long can people in the Midwest, I guess, in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and the Dakotas and Iowa, you know, how long is cold and flu season, Dr. Stately?
Well, I mean, technically you can get a cold or the flu any time of the year, but the reason we see it like significantly peak in like the winter months, like, you know, usually like, you know, October, late October-ish, early November, like all the way through like March or April, is because of how cold it is and people stay indoors, right? Like, we're just, you know, we're not outdoor people in the middle of the winter. And so places and spaces where people are inside more frequently, that's where they're spreading it, like being close to each other and in tight quarters with one another. And it's a respiratory airborne illness. And so that's a big part of that. But technically you can get those conditions anytime during the year.
Right, exactly. So we just have about a minute left here, Dr. Stately, and I know that we're going to come back for one last segment. Dr. Stately and Angelica, make sure you get ready to howl because that's coming up in the next segment here. But you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Ogama Ganuakwe here with Dr. Anthony Stately of the Native American Community Clinic, or NAC, in the Twin Cities, and Angelica Allery. And we're all discussing COVID-19, RSV, influenza A and B, and what you can do to keep yourself safe. And next segment, I'm hoping to talk about some of those remedies we can use once we already maybe are sick. We'll be right back right after these commercial messages.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jayselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hello, Bujou relatives. This is Ogama Ganuakwe. Robert Pilot had some official Ho-Chunk business today, but I am here with Dr. Anthony Stately and Angelica Allery, and I want to let everybody know this portion of the show was brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Oh! Beautiful, everybody. Thanks so much for howling. And like Wendy and Robert just said on that quick break as we came in, February 7th, 2023 is Wolf Day at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up at bit.ly/WolfDay2023 or at howlingforwolves.org, and they will help you go through the process to go and talk to your legislators here in Minnesota about how you can protect the wolves and have non-lethal methods to help keep the pack intact and to not have a wolf hunt, because that's just not helpful to anybody, I think. Not to wolves, not to humans, not to anybody. It's not helpful. But we're back and we're talking about this. 'Tis the season for respiratory illness here on Native Roots Radio. And unfortunately, Angelica, who's joining us, has come down with COVID-19 for the first time. You made it about 2.5, almost 3 years, Angelica. I think you did better than a lot of other people did. Took a while to catch it. But I was hoping that Dr. Stately and the three of us could all talk about some remedies, either Western medicine or traditional medicine or other types of medicines that we know for our relatives like Angelica or, you know, my daughter's friends at school who have little ones who have family members who are ill. Dr. Stately, do you want to go first?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think you have a whole constellation of symptoms when you have like the flu. Right, you have a lot of body aches, like high temperatures, you know, soaring temperatures sometimes, like, you know, and those kinds of things. Things that you can do to sort of kind of ease your, help you with your, the comfort of your body and your achiness is really important, things like that. So hot, warm showers or hot showers and baths with Epsom salts, those kinds of things, things that will help soothe you, and the achiness can kind of help a little bit as well. And sometimes they can also help you break your fever. Lots and lots and lots of fluid, lots of water. You know, if you're diabetic, don't be gobbling down quarts of, you know, and gallons of orange juice. There is actually not a tremendous amount of science that supports the idea of drinking gallons of orange juice helps you to actually overcome the flu more rapidly than not. So, but just drinking lots of fluid, getting yourself hydrated and keeping yourself hydrated, because you're going to be sweating and burning up a lot of your body's fluids throughout the next couple of days if you have high temps and stuff like that. And just kind of flushing your body is a really good thing. I think there's very good, evidence, both anecdotally and some scientifically, that suggests things like fire cider and elderberry tea and elderberry elixir and those kinds of things help to do all kinds of things to help you with your respiratory illnesses and prevent illness or help you with symptom management by doing things like reducing inflation. Inflation, it would be great if the reduced inflation actually inflammation anyway.
If only it could save us from inflation.
Right? If we could just like throw it on.
We need that right now, too.
Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe next time you're on Dr. Staley, we could talk about your tips to protect yourself from inflation.
From inflation, right? Exactly.
Yes. Angelica, is there anything that you've been using to keep yourself healthy or mitigate your symptoms while you're having COVID?
While I was sick, I must have had influenza A or something like that. All I know is that we were sick as heck. But my mom did make me and my sister some tea, and she's really sweet. And then she made us also swamp tea. So I believe that was gathered by my sister or another relative that gifted it to us. But, you know, we just also, I took an Epsom salt baths, and really just kind of took care of myself. I also use essential oil diffuser. So I kind of like do some, I don't know if anyone's familiar with Young Living, but I use their products, and they have really nice, essential oils that are, I believe organically sourced. And so they're really helpful, and there's like some, air purifying ones and just all of that. So I was using that, and it was really nice. I don't know what it is, but my mom must know an old trick to break a fever is like you take a hot bath or a cold bath and put some like alcohol in it, or not, but like rubbing alcohol or something like that. I believe if my fever didn't, break, then that's what she would have told me to do. But, but yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of it. And also I seen Alice had put in that she uses like a cedar tea and a cedar boil, which is, it's really helpful.
Yeah, I remember reading during COVID, like the height of COVID, that there had been some studies done around cedar and sage, and that they both actually help to cleanse the air. They help to gather and destroy microbes that are living in the air. So when my little family and I had COVID earlier this year, actually my infant daughter's first cold that she had was actually COVID. And the two of us were really terribly ill together, and she was too little for me to give her anything other than, nursing her and taking some warm baths together. So it was really, really difficult for us. And it was in the middle of that formula shortage too. So my daughter's pediatrician actually made the decision to put me on Paxlovid in case I got desperately ill. There wouldn't have been formula readily available to feed her in the event that I was unable to feed her as a nursing mom. So she made the decision to help us both with the Paxlovid, which I think it helped, but I'm not sure. I just know we were very, very ill for quite some time, and it really debilitated us as far as eating. It was a struggle to stay hydrated. But when I was a kid, my mom always used onion syrup. You can make a syrup from onion, and it's similar to fire cider. I know onion is a big basic ingredient when you make fire cider. And the onion syrup, I just remember working really well. And that's still something that I use with my daughters now. Because it doesn't have a lot of side effects. It's easy to make, and you don't have to really worry too much about giving it to young children as long as you put sugar in it instead of honey, because you shouldn't give honey to babies under a year old. But once kids are a little bit older, I know that honey and lemon are both really good expectorants. They help to get that gunk out of the lungs. So we've been doing a lot of lemon water at our house too, hot lemon water. Mostly right now, we're just doing our best to try to keep from getting ill. And, I think a lot of us take to the internet when we're sick and go, what else can I do? I want to just feel better. And there's no harm in doing those things. But Dr. Stately, when should people go to the hospital? And also, don't go on WebMD, everybody. But when should people go to the hospital really quick before we go off air, Dr. Stately?
I do think that you should plan to go to the urgent care or to the ER if you are having difficulty with breathing. So if you notice that you are gasping for breath, you feel like there's something like sitting on your chest, you're struggling to gasp for air, get good quality of air in your lungs at the smallest amount of effort, like normally you could walk up the stairs and you wouldn't be winded, or you could get up and do a task and you wouldn't be winded. Those are signs that you are struggling for. You're putting a lot of strain on your respiratory system, and you don't want to have respiratory failure, right? So like I would exercise.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.